Today, I had the absolute honor to have on the podcast Carrie Fox of Mission Partners, as well as another fellow podcast host of Mission Forward. Please listen in. The stories that she shares of the mission of her business and ultimately of who she inherently is extraordinary. You'll learn information about being forward-thinking and all-inclusive, what it is to be a benefit corporation, a certified B Corp. We often hear that term utilized more and more often nowadays. And she's an extraordinary person. So please tune in and share and like and love all the things. So please spread the mission that Carrie Fox and her purpose and passion is. Welcome to The Seed, cultivating growth and empowering women in business, brought to you by Dandelion Inc. I'm your host, Lisa Resnick, and this podcast is all about connecting, developing, and supporting women in business. Join me as we explore tips and insights on leadership, business development, and social media strategies that can help you thrive. We'll also hear from amazing guests who share their stories and experiences, offering inspiration and practical advice for your entrepreneurial journey. So tune in, download, like, and subscribe. And remember, if you love what you hear, share it with others. Together, let's cultivate growth and empower women in business. Hey, everyone. Lisa Resnick with The Seed, founder of Dandelion Inc. And I am here with Carrie Fox. She is the founder and CEO of Mission Partners, a social impact communications firm and certified B Corp that guides high potential organizations in realizing their greatest impact. She is also the co-founder of Adventures in Kindness, which she wrote with her daughter, Sophia, and she is the author of the book, More Than Words. So just a quick personal side, I love connections and how they work out. So Carrie has worked with my husband in his other previous occupation, and she was there to help with communications, public speaking, and strategy for the organization that he was with. Carrie, at that time, handed my husband the book, More Than Words. And he had always talked highly of Carrie to begin with. But he came home from the trip. I think you guys were in New Mexico, right?
We were in San Francisco.
San Francisco. Came home, handed me the book, and said, I think that you'll really love this book. And I started to deep dive into it. And it's weird, but it's like instantaneous. I had this like fictitious girl crush on somebody that I've never even met. That I was like, I am going to reach out. And my husband asked me, he goes, well, did you want me to make the connection? And I said, no, I want to do this on my own. I want to reach out to her. I was like, of course, I'm going to name drop, but like, so she doesn't think I'm some crazy, but yes. So, and now here we are today.
Oh my gosh, Lisa. First of all, I mean, the idea that anyone has a girl crush on me, I don't know where that comes from, but I fell immediately in love with you and the work that you were doing. And I feel so honored to be in this space with some of your colleagues now, because what you have built is so incredible. And the level and depth of community that you have built, as noted at the top, what a perfect day to spend International Women's Day with you all.
Yes, I think it's absolutely amazing. So before we deep dive into the book, one of the topics of conversation I thought that you would be amazing to speak about is giving, because we have been in this space of where we always believe that the way to succeed and the way to excel in business is by taking. And you might not necessarily think of that taking aspect of it as a negative. It's just more of a growth. It's like, in order to grow and in order to succeed in your business, you need to take.
And you need to have that dynamic of the underbelly of business that often is so ugly that we try not to expose. But you take a completely different approach.
I do. And I think I've taken this approach since I was a little girl, right? The idea that there's always something that we can do when we're feeling, as most of us do in the days that we're living now, right? We feel frozen. We feel like, what are we going to do? The problems around us are so big. But the reality is there's always something we can do, right? Bit by bit, you can always take, even if it's a half step forward, you can always do something. You can always give something. To your community, to your neighbor, to your movement, to yourself sometimes too. We can't forget that.
Yes.
But what was very interesting, Lisa, is when I started my first company, I was 25. I started a communications firm. Many people said, you're going to fail in the first year. And the reason they said that is because I built a firm around supporting nonprofit organizations, organizations who could say, what we do for the good of others. And we were going to use communications to help advance their missions and their visions in the world. And so many people that I deeply admire, business leaders who are very successful, said, you can't make a business out of helping nonprofits. And I said, well, watch me. Let's see what we can do. Right? And we did. We built it into a national firm, award-winning firm. I ran that firm for 13 years. And then after that 13th year, we actually decided to start a new company in the spirit and service of becoming a B Corporation. I can tell you more about that, but further reinforcing that idea that the more you give, the more you get. You know, it really has played out that way for us in business.
I really believe that. And it's especially in the worlds that I've worked in real estate, because there's a lot of times that transactions fall through or conversations don't go any further than the conversation, or people asking you for help and advice, even though if they're working with somebody else. I always look at those moments of opportunity and thankfulness that they even thought of me to begin with. And I'm a firm believer, if you put out positivity and good in the universe, it might not be with that moment with that person, but it will eventually come back.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if you model that, what I've learned and what my daughter and I talked about in Adventures in Kindness is the more you model that, it is like the butterfly effect that we've all learned about, right? If you
Yes.
do one thing, that there is a trickle down effect that someone else will take that good intention and pass it on to someone else.
It's so true. So after 25, so how long was the first business before you started the next one?
It was 13 years. So I started when I was 25 before I had kids, and then wound that down in 2016 and started Mission Partners right in January of 2017.
So how did it become a B Corporation? Like, I think a lot of people out there, we're starting to hear a lot more certified B Corp than we have ever in the past. But I don't think everybody fully understands what it is to be one and how to even get there.
Yeah, great question. And for those who are listening or here with us who don't know what a B Corp is, a B Corporation or a benefit corporation is a for-profit organization, but instead of being run through a standard single bottom line of profit, right? Profit is our measure of success. B corporations operate through a triple bottom line philosophy. We think first about people, planet, and then yes, we're thinking about profit, but really we're thinking about the distribution of that profit. That does not mean we're not about having revenue and, you know, being
yes.
paid well, but it's first thinking about how we steward those resources. And so Mission Partners, the first thing we think about, and 91% of all of the dollars that come in literally go back to our people. So it's how we pay our people well, how we make sure everyone has access to wealth building opportunities, even if they are first year in their career, making sure they have access to that wealth building opportunity. It's the planet, thinking broadly, what can we do with the resources we have to make sure that we are supporting our planet and supporting communities around the world with those dollars. And then we're thinking about a profit at the end of the day. So that philosophy and that approach allows us to come at business from a very different perspective. And, you know, Lisa, I don't have a business degree. I have a communications
yeah.
degree. And many times over the years when I've thought, gosh, I don't know enough about business in this moment, it's actually been the freedom that I've needed to say, maybe I don't need to know enough about business in this moment because I am not tied to what a business school would tell me I need to do in this moment, versus having the freedom to say there might actually be a different way to run this company that's good for everyone in the company, not just good for the shareholders of the company.
I absolutely love that. And it's so true. I wish that I went down the communications route, but I feel like if I inserted that I graduated with a political science degree, it probably would go down a different route for people. They would probably choose, they would wish it would rather be the business degree.
Well, and to answer the other part of your question, how to become one, it's actually quite complicated, which is the hard part of the process. It took us the better part of a year to do it. It is very demanding what you need to be able to show about how you run your company and the level of transparency you need to show.
Yes.
And again, that's all part of the process to be able to distinguish the way that you run your company. But there are really only a few hundred women-owned B corporations in the world. So if you are running a company and you're thinking about how do I make sure that I'm advancing my mission and thinking about the legacy I leave behind and, you know, making sure that this company can have a deeply positive impact, I invite you to explore B Corps and happy to guide you along the way if you're interested in how to explore that.
Is there any certain like amount of employees that you need to have? Is there any baseline to know whether or not you're at that point to even start exploring that route?
You need to be in business for at least a year before you can formally apply. And then there is a wonderful tool on the B Lab website, and I can pull that up in the background and give you the actual web address. But you can actually do a little bit of a test to see what you score. Most companies will score about 50 points. You need to score at least 80 to be certified. But the test will tell you, oh, okay, you can win some more points if you institute a mental health policy. Or you can score some more points if you think about being transparent in the vendors that you're using and how you're distributing your income to vendors. So they really give you guidance on wherever your baseline is, what you might be able to do to then be at a place where you could become certified.
Now, like with WBE or MBE or WBENC, all the other certifications out there, I know, especially with certain businesses, that it makes so much sense for people to get those certifications because of the benefits of other companies utilizing you as their source of service or product based upon those certifications. Is that the same thing with the B Corp?
I think it's more. So we too are certified women-owned. The challenges that we are seeing in supplier diversity these days regarding DEI, the effect that we are seeing in how companies are afraid to prioritize, and even the Small Business Administration, how they've changed their language on how they can prioritize one identity versus another. And we can get into that. That's a big issue that I hope we find a way to get through.
Yes.
The B Corporation is a game changer on a different level in that it literally lets you put your values out to the world. And many organizations and employees have come to us and said, if we're choosing between two communications firms, we'll choose Mission Partners because we know exactly what you stand for. And we know an investment in Mission Partners is an investment in the communities that we care about. So for instance, and in full disclosure, we run a company that's about $2.5 million, right? We're not a really big company. We're not a really small company either, but we're on the smaller size.
Yes.
But in 2020, we recognized that many of our vendors were needing to close their doors. Women-owned and Black-owned companies that we relied on for our services could not navigate through 2020. And we recognized that there might be something we could do to pool and distribute our resources. So initially, it was a $50,000 commitment we made to distribute our funds, both through pro bono and capital distribution to some of our partners. That $50,000 has expanded to now be a $2.5 million investment. We are 80% of the way there. We intend to hit it by 2025. But again, that's like reinforcement that it was not hard for us to think about. If we made strategic shifts over the course of a 5-year period to prioritize working with women-owned and Black-owned companies that we could distribute a pretty significant amount of money over time. So,
I love that.
There's more power, I think, than we realize we have sometimes if we're thinking about being intentional in our decisions. So an example like that is a great example of when companies see that $2.5 million commitment, they know exactly where their money is going. It's going through us to the companies that they want to be supporting too.
Which actually can be an easy transfer over to your book, More Than Words, because how you are thinking of your business, and you talk about the communications aspect and how you strategize and how you think holistically, and this is really where I fell in love with you, is because reading the book More Than Words, you see that and how you look at even communications in a way that's not the traditional way, in a more strategic, forward-thinking way on how to connect. And it is, there's such an intention of A, who you work with, and B, how you connect beyond just the people you work with, but to those that they're trying to reach. Thank you. Those things into consideration. It really is an amazing book. And I do recommend anyone, I'm not just saying this because you're here, and I'm sure I can have people backing me up, because I really do recommend every business, if they're not going to employ Mission Partners directly, then they need to, or partner would be the better word, but they need to at least read the book, because it's such a powerful, impactful book that connects on various levels and also provides a plan. Okay, I'm done pitching, but but it's true. And I am going to read a portion if that's okay. Okay.
Of course.
So I love this. And this is probably one of those moments of like where, and it's only chapter two, everyone, where I deep dive even further into like how much I love Carrie. But she goes, I am white, cisgender Christian, woman of Italian, here, let me take off my post-it note, Italian heritage, college educated, over 40, and able-bodied. I have unearned privilege, advantage, and power. As a small business owner, and in line with our company's commitments as a certified benefit corporation, I do my best to use that position of power to disrupt many of the dominant cultural norms that had been, by default, instilled in me. I just love that beautiful recognition of this understanding and self-awareness of no matter what, like where we are, where we are in this world, that does just happen to happen by where we are born or how we are born.
Thank you.
I think it's absolutely beautiful. And then there's other definitely portions in this book. I've like post-its all around. I know everybody can't see this, but I also like was an active reader with her book and also like underlined, highlighted everything. But when it came to this book, what prompted you to write it?
Well, I'll start with that section that you just named, right? As communicators, as professional communicators, people hire us to give them specific guidance on how to move their work forward. Many times, nonprofits are asking us to come up with the exact words and phrasing that they will go out into the world and raise money on. And I had an aha moment. It's actually in my prior company, and it's actually part of the reason why I shut down that company. I talk about this in the book, that I realized I had missed the depth of responsibility that I carried. And that when we were working with social service organizations who were raising money for issues around homelessness in Washington, D.C., that some of the language we were presenting at the time was through this very deficit-based frame, right? Help raise money for this wonderful savior of a nonprofit that's helping young people who are experiencing homelessness. Well, you know what? That is no way that young people want to be positioned in that story, nor did any of those young people, in most cases, have a chance to actually review their story before the nonprofit went to market and started fundraising around it. And my aha there was, my goodness, communicators hold such power. We shape the way that the world understands certain issues, right? I talk about some political elections and campaigns and how candidates got on a big stage and were talking about issues. And again, how we read the news, the information that we take in, it shapes our understanding of the world. And that aha for me, the depth of recognition that the bias that I bring to my work is all a result of the upbringing that I had. And so now the two most important words I use every single day, and they're the basis of that book, are what if? What if I challenged the information that I knew? What if I went deeper into this issue and understood it from a different perspective that's not always the mainstream perspective? What if I actually tried to push back against a narrative or a framework that actually isn't the full story, right? What would happen then? And that, again, it comes back to what we were talking about a little while ago, what that unleashes in us as communicators to be able to truly do something about the issues that year over year over year really aren't changing. If you think about poverty in America, it hasn't significantly changed, even though there are 13,000 nonprofits in DC who exist to end poverty, end the cycle of poverty. Mm-hmm. So all of the resources going against these issues, but there's really not long-term change. And so what I'm seeing is there is a connection to how we talk about and understand these issues. And if you challenge it, you might actually be able to truly break the cycle of poverty.
I agree completely with you. And it is one of those things that we do need to ask those what if questions. We do need to ask why something wasn't working before. If you're constantly hearing the same problem over and over again, there has to come to a point that we dive into how we're problem solving. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that mm-hmm. in your book. It's at one point, what are we doing when we're looking at the problem and how we're trying to solve it? If we're constantly repeating the same thing and putting the Band-Aid on, whatever you want to call it, we're not taking that time needed. And that is something that is so applicable for nonprofits and the missions that they have that they're trying to resolve. But it's also, I think about that in businesses, like even my business, it might be a for-profit or your business is a for-profit, but there's a large component of what we do in our passion or purpose and our drive that is all about helping other people. Mm-hmm. So for us, asking those questions about problem solving and the what ifs is so essential, or the why nots. I love why nots.
Right. I agree.
So it's so essential and so true. So how long did it take you to write the book?
Oh, it took me the better part of a year, though I had the idea for it for many years. And I think it required, it's funny because the subtitle of the book is Communications Practices of Courageous Leaders. Mm-hmm. And it took me years to have the courage to be able to put some of this into writing.
There you go. So what was the catalyst that helped you get to that point?
No, it's interesting, Lisa. I write a weekly blog, and I have for many years. And I started to realize that the entries where I was my most vulnerable, where I really thought, oh my gosh, am I going to put this into the world?
Yes.
Were the entries that had the most unbelievable reaction and this incredible support from people who said, oh my gosh, you feel that way too? Oh my gosh, I didn't know you had gone through that. And as a woman in business, and particularly starting as a young woman in business, I always thought I had to convey this vision of perfection. I'm not flawed. I can do everything and I can do it perfectly, and I can have my two kids and I can run my company and I can never get tired, right? None of that is true. Absolutely none of it. I'm a mess. and I realized that when I started to talk about that, then people really started to respond, and the depth of the connection was so much deeper. And so again, it comes back to that. I feel like I finally had the courage to be honest with myself so that I could present this and hopefully support others who are thinking about how they grow their courage too.
So for all the listeners out there that are gearing up and gaining that courageous power to start their own book, and this is your second book, really. With that being said, like, how did you go about finding an agent? How did you go find out, like, who could publish it? Like, how'd you go through that process?
Oh, my friend, I did not have an agent. I published this book on my own. The beauty of having
well done.
Company, right, is our company became our publishing agent. And I did a lot of research. I talked with a lot of folks who have published books, and I did the pros and cons of, is it worth finding an agent and paying for that process? And what would be the timeline to bring that book to market? The reality is a lot of what I found, because of the fact that I'm not a household name in any way, right? Most people do not know my name, that most publishers will require that you are able to sell at least 10,000 books. And if you can't sell those books, then you have to pay for it. And so I thought, maybe I can do this on my own and let's see where it goes and let's use my own timeline. And again, the freedom of that. Now, I did have a wonderful editor. I had a wonderful, you know, set of folks who were helping me think about how to release the book and promote the book. And the book was an Amazon bestseller for the first 2 weeks, and it continues to be in the top 10 of PR and comms books. But that's really like sweat equity. That's stuff that I'm doing day after day to try to push it forward.
Well, that's really good to know. Definitely heard the advice of people always looking at the end of the book to see the acknowledgments and who they would thank as trying to figure out who would be their agent to publish the book. I've also heard the horror stories of like how long if utilizing an agent where your idea might be sitting with them. Mm-hmm. And then your masterpiece that you love could be sitting with them because you opted to work with them instead of having the ability and the control to publish it when you want. Mm-hmm. Which always makes me wonder, especially because of the timeliness of a lot of things in which we write.
Right.
That the concept and the idea that you have, if it's not pushed out in the time that it is going to actually make the impact that you believe it to be. Because I know mm-hmm. sometimes others have a different belief than what we have. But mm-hmm. usually I'm like, if you're passionate about something, go for it. Go for it now. That there are those alternative routes out there instead of waiting on somebody else to give you the okay.
That's
you
right.
give yourself the okay.
Yeah, that's right.
I love
that's
that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And my first book, Adventures in Kindness, it's 52 adventures that kids can take on to build a better world. And my daughter, Sophia, when she was 10, she and I started writing this book because she was experiencing some mean acts around her. And she came home and she said, I don't know how to process what I'm seeing. Why are people so mean? How do they get to be so mean? And so I have no good answer for that. We are going to experience mean acts in our life. And if we don't like the way that feels, let's push the opposite out into the world. I said, what does the opposite look like to you? And she said, kindness. And so she and I started going on literally adventures in kindness. And that was everything from doing, you know, painted kindness rocks and leaving them on the doorsteps of neighbors to creating happiness kits for some of her friends who are experiencing cancer and who are in the hospital, to going on long walks and practicing kindness for our bodies. And we realized that this actually could be a tool and a resource that other kids and their families could use too. So that too was self-published. Came out right at the beginning of 2020.
Oh, wow.
Ended up serving as a wonderful resource for families around the world who couldn't gather. So we had grandparents in Europe who were connecting with their grandkids in San Francisco once a week to do an adventure in kindness together. We had schools who were using it as a resource when they were in virtual learning. And so that was our first entree into writing a book and thinking about the movement that it could build. What we realized in writing the second book was this is the kindness book for adults, right? Mm-hmm. So there might be adventures in kindness for kids, and it's a practice guide. Truly, it's a field guide for how to build your kindness muscle. That More Than Words is exactly the same thing, but it's for professionals.
That's so true. It is so true. I mean, I feel like a lot in what you do, you are guided so easily. So your muscle for kindness is definitely strong because that's how you lead. That's literally how you lead your life. And you can see that in the conversations that we've had. And at one point, like I was still a stranger to you and you had such a beautiful kindness and openness and willingness to be as helpful as you could be with me. And I truly appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, all the studies say the kinder you are, the better your mental health, right? The more benefit you feel from that. So
We'll just tell people less sprinkles, and then all of a sudden everybody will be that
That's
way.
Right. That's right.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being part of the Seed today. And again, I really hope that we are able to collaborate and partner and team up on so many things going forward in our lives.
Me too.
Thank you, everyone, for listening in to the Seed. If you'd like to receive our weekly newsletter, go to dandelion-inc.com and click Let's Connect. And please be sure to subscribe to the Seeds podcast to hear more inspiring stories from other badass women that are all around us. Remember, behind every woman is a tribe of other successful women who have their back. To you all, thank you.